Praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. A couple other things I want to announce. I don't know if y'all saw if you have Yahoo for your homepage, but it had a deal on there about a mathematician, Stephen Hawking, who's supposed to be one of the leading, smartest guys in the world. And you saw that article. And, you know, I am no rocket scientist by any means. You know, I got out of school and by the hair of my teeth and 4 years of related math and home economics and ag, you know, and I got out. But I was reading this article. I thought, if this is, they say, is one of the smartest guys in the world, you know, something is severely wrong, because in it he said that he had changed his position on that there absolutely was no God, but that there was, that the Big Bang Theory all came about by chance. That it was a perfect chance that happened. I thought, when does a scientist say that things happen by chance? That doesn't even, it doesn't even make sense. You know what I'm saying? And he's supposed to be, well then, so I was, you know, after I have murmured and griped about that for a while, Skip Ondervik, Dr. Ondervik, was talking to me this morning. He's going to be teaching next Sunday, starting next Sunday, for 8 weeks on, tell me again your title? The Absolute Proof of Creation, okay? And so you're going to want to be there for Sunday school to get yourself some ammunition. Amen? So anyway, that's one thing. Next thing, I always want to just remind y'all, go by the bookstore, okay? The bookstore, we sell books at cost, okay? Because I just want to put something in your hands, but you never know what you're going to pick up, that you're going to read, that's going to give you a revelation about Jesus that you didn't know. It's going to bless you and help you in life. And here's a book. It's called How to Live and Not Die by Norval Hayes. This is an old book. Norval Hayes is an old minister. This is some of the stuff I cut my teeth on when I was first saved and getting to know the Lord. And these books, you cannot look how thin it is. You can't be intimidated by the book. And you know, some books you read, you know, you may not theologically agree with everything that's said, but that's okay. You don't throw everything out, but you can pick up tidbits and stuff. Here's another one on by Smith Wigglesworth, The Power of the Scriptures. Is just can put together chapters of his teachings and stuff, and just great stuff. And so I encourage you, stop by there, browse to the bookstore, find you a little book. The mini books are great. Man, they're like $1, $1.50. Man, you pick those things up, carry around your truck, sit there and read it. I've just now broken into the real world. I upgraded and got a new phone, and so I didn't really want to, but I needed to do this, and I ended up getting an iPhone, and I found a Bible. And it's so funny this morning, so y'all that have used iPhones for years, I've held off all this time. And I got a Bible. There's a free Bible app on there. My son showed me. He said, hey, look, Dad, here. So I got this. Oh, wow, look at all these. Man, I was going through this thing. Well, I didn't realize I was hooked onto the internet. So I actually had a scripture out that I was going to impress you this morning and pull out my iPhone, you know, and go to the Bible. And then I got in here, and I didn't download the Bible. I didn't know you had to download the Bible. Nobody told me I had to download the Bible. So I ain't got no scripture on my iPhone this morning, so... So we're going to have to go the old hard-fashioned way here and look at the Bible. But, you know, technology's amazing. But what I got so excited about was I started, you know, I had all these translations, and I started just reading a different translation off my phone. I thought, now, Lord, this is really freaky. You know, I'm reading off the phone here and scrolling around here. But it was something, you know, it doesn't take a few minutes. You read a whole, like you can take a translation you don't normally read, like the Message Bible or something like that, and just read a chapter. It doesn't take any time. So anyway, I encourage you, stretch yourself. Amen. Look at the person beside you and say, stretch yourself. So anyway, I want to continue on this message that I was talking, that I've been teaching on for the last couple of weeks about it came about, and the title of the message is, You've Never Seen Your Father's Face, or Have You Ever Seen Your Father's Face? And it came about as a story that was being related to me about, I believe it was Oprah. They had a makeover show where there was this guy that had a beard down to about his chest. middle of his belly here and never shaven, and eyebrows are woolly and bushy and long hair and all. And his children had never seen their father's face, had never seen him clean shaven, never seen him at all. And so they did this makeover where they brought him in, you know, and they shaved him and cleaned him all up and dyed his hair and trimmed his eyebrows and put him in some clothes. And he came out then in the audience, and the family just freaked out. Everybody started crying. The kids were just going crazy, you know, and the kids kept saying, we've never seen our father's face. And when they were relating this story to me, it just hit me in my heart. And it just exploded this message that, have you ever seen your Heavenly Father's face? And I believe there's Christians all over the world sitting in church today because it's Sunday, and they came to church and they're sitting in church because they know that they should, but they don't really know why they should. They're just doing it because mama said they should do it. They're doing it because that's what their tradition's been. They're doing it because that's what good people do in their minds. That's what they're thinking. They're doing it because it's the right thing to do. It's just Sunday and you go to church. But if God walked in the house and sat down, they would have no earthly idea who he was. And I got to thinking about this. I'm just in my mind. I can't get it out. It's like, you know, it's like I've tied in some really good ice cream that I can't quit eating. I just keep thinking about it. And I want to pose the question to you. If you had never seen your earthly father, if you never knew your earthly father, but your mother always sat around and told you what he was like and what he did. And every day there was a discussion being made, and around the supper table, they were talking about, oh, your father, he used to always love to do this and he used to love to do that. And then you got in a room full of men and had to pick out your father. Could you do it? You've never seen him. You don't know what he looks like. You just have heard your mother describe him to you. Could you walk across a whole room full of men and be able to sort out who it was? And I want to tell you something. I say, no, you couldn't. You couldn't until you started to hear him speak. So you'd have to ask some questions. You had to say, well, what do you like and what do you dislike? And that's what's wrong with the Christian world, is that everybody has gone to church and sat in the pews and just sat there like a bump on the log, listened to what the preacher had to say, and they just took that knowledge, but they never gained any knowledge themselves. They never sought out their father, and what is their father really like? And what is this? What is God the Father like and not like? What is he, you know, what's his attitude going to be? And so what happens is then, people develop a mental image of God based on whatever you have been, has been input to you. So if somebody input to you an angry God, God's after you, he's going to get you. You know, you messing around, God's going to get you for that. And that's what's in your image, that God's at. Then you've got an image of a kind of a bearded, wrathful God that will, you know, smoke you if you don't straighten up. You know, it's like he's like you're going to the throne to pray and he's got a bat behind his back, you know, saying, yeah, come on, I've been waiting for you. I'll swat. That's your image of God. And the image of God that you have is could be tainted by your environment, what's happened to you in life and what's gone on in life and you know, and it may not even be your real Heavenly Father. You may have an image of God that's not right. Then you may have an image of God who's, you know, like, oh, you know, now y'all know this. I just hate that picture. I'm sorry if y'all love it. See, I'm already in trouble here because I just thought somebody loves that picture. But that picture of Jesus standing there in the robe and his long hair and he's holding a lamb like it's a poodle. I'm like, who carries a lamb? You don't just go out and get a lamb and carry it around and stroke it and pet it. I mean, if you're a shepherd and there's a problem with the lamb, you get the lamb, but you're not going to hold a sheep. Sheep stink. They stunk in the day of Jesus and they stink today. That's just the way it is. You don't go carrying around holding a lamb. But they're trying to say, oh, you know, they're trying to put this imagery in your mind of this sweet Jesus, you know, and everything's okay. And then so the world gets and develops this attitude and this thinking that It's okay to do everything. It's okay to do anything. God loves everybody and God loves everything and there's no problem. Y'all hearing what I'm saying here? So then when you go in there to try to pick out your Heavenly Father, depends on how your image is what who you're going to choose. So we got things going on in the world today, and people are trying to figure out if it's God or not. And some of them I'm shocked about. There's some church denominations trying to figure out if this is really God or not, or should we allow this or that. And I'm like, what is the matter with you people? Do you not know your Heavenly Father well enough to know that that's not something that He would want? I got to tell this. The people, they wouldn't care. But I met this couple here recently. They don't live here, live somewhere else. But they have one of these pet pigs and those potbelly pigs, you know? And this dude weighs about 400 pounds. It's the biggest pig I've ever seen him off. When I saw it, I was shocked. I was like, whoa! I mean, his legs look like they're that long because his belly is just off the ground, you know? And he's a house pig. A 400-pound house pig. And they're like, one of the other carpenters was telling me the other day, he said, I was over there, I went to the house, and went there, and that thing was asleep on their couch. And I was like, I just ain't right, man. I don't care. Something ain't right. You don't have a 400-pound pig on your couch. And I guess, you know, all strokes for, you know, different strokes for different folks. Everybody can, you know, do whatever. But to me, when I just saw that, I said, like, just inside of me, says, that ain't right. But there's things going on that people should know that that's not God. And I'm just sitting there saying, that ain't God. That ain't right. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is a good thing. Y'all with me? All things happening all around, and people say, oh, no, this is a good thing. Well, the problem is they do not know their Heavenly Father. They can't pick Him out. They don't know what He looks like. They don't know what He would act like. They don't know what He likes. They don't know His likes and dislikes. They don't know anything about Him. And so I don't want y'all to be like that. And so we've been talking about this, and last week we talked about the God of love. But this week I want to show you something different. I want to change here. You can hold your finger there at 1 John. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. I want to show you something. Y'all are going to all say, oh, my gosh. The doors are locked and you can't get out, so don't worry. Go to Revelation. Y'all have to excuse me. I have fought it, and I got the largest print Bible I can find. Man, I have pushed so hard to not come to this day, and I can't see it anymore. I have faked it for so long, but I gotta look. Just the way it is. I have quoted the scripture that Moses' eyes didn't grow dim, nor did his body fail. As I have just probably hurt myself because I can't see anything anymore. I can't even find where I am. Oh, okay, here I go. Okay, I'm sorry. Revelation 6. Revelation chapter 6. So I want to share with you this morning, and don't panic, but I want to, last week we talked about knowing the face of your Heavenly Father, the love face of your Heavenly Father. Today, we're going to look at the judgment face of God. Here we go. Verse 12. And I looked, and He opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree dropped its late figs when it was shaken by the mighty wind. And the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's pretty bad. I mean, you're talking about, it says the mightiest men, the strongest, the greatest, the whatever, all because God was appearing, ran into the cave, hid themselves and said, man, fall on us. Y'all with me? Now I want to just keep that thought. I want to go over here. All right. So there's two kinds of people on the face of the earth. All right. There's only two kinds. There's those that are saved and know Jesus and are headed for heaven, and those that are not. That's it. There's no color distinction. There's no race distinction. There's no economic distinction. There's two kinds of people. They either are headed to heaven or they're not. End of story. Y'all with me? Do we have agreement on that? Okay, so you sitting in here right now this morning, as I'm talking to y'all and everybody that's listening on the radio, you either know which class, you know what class you're in. You either are on the right or on the left. You either headed up or down. Am I right? If you say, well, I hope I'm going up, oh God, that's a bad place to be. That's a bad place to be. Look at the person beside you and say, that's a bad place to be. If you're in here, listen, I want to tell you this. If you're in here trying to make excuses, well, let me tell you something. I don't know. A preacher ain't got no right to say things like that because, I mean, I don't know. I know I'm better than that person over there. You're in the wrong place still. You may be better than that person, but it don't make any difference because it's not about the difference between me and you. It's about, are you right with heaven? Are you right with God? Well, you know, Pastor, I've tried to live a good life, but dadgum, the other day I got mad and walked out of the house and kicked a dog. I mean, that dog just been bothering me. I kicked him. I'm not talking about what you've been doing in your relationship. I'm not talking about, are you on the cutting edge of your relationship with your Heavenly Father? I'm talking about down inside of your heart, do you know that you know that you know that you know that no matter what, that you know that you're right with heaven because you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. That His blood has atoned for your sins. You're washed. You're clean. You're headed for heaven. If you die, you're going up. Y'all with me? Well, this is what I want to tell you. If you're in that category, if you're in that place, you're not going to be one of those crying out not to see your Father's face. You're going to be one standing on the sidelines saying, come on, Daddy. You're going to be the one dancing, saying, we're about to get in the streets of gold, get in our mansion, and get out of this sorry world. Come on, heavens, roll back. You see, you got to understand something. If you know your Heavenly Father and you know you're right with your Heavenly Father, you don't have anything to fear from the wrath of God. You with me? You got nothing to fear because the Bible says that you have been delivered from the wrath of God because of what Jesus has done for you. So whatever is going to happen in the world, whatever, however, you know, the whole, there can be church splits over just interpreting the book of Revelation, okay? And at what time this takes place, I don't know. That's not what I'm preaching this morning. I'm just telling you, I don't know how it all comes out. I don't know where, if I'm standing there or not at that exact mention of the sixth seal, if I'm already in heaven or I'm there. But I know one thing. That I know, that I know, that I know, that nobody's going to take away from me, nobody's going to explain it a different way, is that no matter what, I want to see my Heavenly Father's face because I know He's not mad at me. He already poured all His wrath out on Jesus. He ain't pouring it out on me. It's amazing that the world is all in turmoil about this and that and the other when it's just, I know that my Heavenly Father, He loves me. And His wrath's been poured out on Jesus, and it's not going to get poured out on me. Now, have I done everything right? Absolutely not. Could I have done things better? Sure. Do I need improvement? Amen. But I'm in the family of God. I know what it was like to be lost. And then I was found. Y'all with me? I know what it was like to not know if I was going to heaven or not. But what happens is the devil gets in and twists Christians' thinking to where they get fearful of going to see their Heavenly Father because they haven't been doing what was right in their minds. And so therefore, they don't want to go talk to God because they go talk to God, they're going to get spanked. You Christians, I know that y'all, you know, I've always been perfect all your life and you never did anything wrong. But there was more than likely probably a time in your life as a young man or woman, you know, young child in your house, you did something that was wrong. And you did not want to get caught. Am I preaching to you? Tell me I'm talking to the right crowd here. Is my mother here? I got to tell you, this is a classic, okay? I hope that y'all don't have me up on such a high pedestal. Listen, boy, I was a heathen. I was a heathen before I met Jesus, okay? But there was a time that, see, I had an older sister. And my older sister, you know, she got her driver's license first, right? And so she's got her car at 16. We're country kids living out there. And you just could go from our house down the back road of Canepa and end up over at the dance. And so she's 16, so I'd always conned my parents into letting me go that I was a responsible person. I needed to take care of her. And so we'd go, and as soon as we got there, uh-oh, she came in. Mama, don't you need to go back there and take care of the grandson? Okay. Anyway, so we'd go out. Well, so this night, and you know, it's a sad story, but it's a true story. So this night, my sister, she drank too much. And so I drove home. And so I drove the car in, and then she got out, and then she went into the house. But you know, what was the matter with her? My sister didn't have much sense. And the bathroom was over towards my parents' side of the house, you know, where their bedroom was. And she went in there and stumbled around. And my mother got up and went in there to see what was going on. And then, you know, my room was close enough to there that I could hear. And so I've snuggled my face down in my pillow, man. I'm going to go anywhere close to there. I didn't want to go anything. And so my sister, you know, she said, I heard my mother say, you know, have you been drinking? And she said, first words out of her mouth is, Robert was too. I never forgot that. I never have let my sister live that one down. I said, man, I still have never forgiven you for that one. So I just snuggle my face down in my pillow, just call it up like I'm, you know, asleep. And next thing I know, I can feel the beady eyes of my mother right here, right over my head, just looking at me. You know, man, I didn't move. I was... caught it the next morning, but at least I had some time off there, okay? The point is people live their relationship with their Heavenly Father like that. Is you did something that you didn't repent of. You didn't want to confess. You didn't want to get right with God over. And so you don't want to go talk to Daddy. You don't want to get close to Him. You don't want to go there because you're afraid He might smell something on you. He might say, what were you doing last night? You know, folks, He knows everything. He knows how many hairs you got on your head, how many are left. He knows exactly what's going on. Some of you, you don't have to do quite as much counting as others, but I'm telling you, He knows everything. He knows everything. You're not getting away with anything. There's nothing you're doing that's hidden that He doesn't know about. You can't go to Him and say, listen, Father, I need to repent. I did this. And He says, you did what? It ain't going to happen. You're not getting away. There's no sense in having a relationship with your Heavenly Father that you don't want to be around Him. Like, okay, let's don't pray, you know, because I don't want God to. Well, yeah. Come on, He knows it anyway. And so I'm not scared to see my Father's face. I want to see my Father's face. I want to be around my Heavenly Father because it's of the nature of Christ on the inside of me that I want to be like Him even though I fall short. And I would have learned in life it's better just to go walk right up to the throne and say, Daddy, you know, can you help me clean the mud off my boots? I was messing around over there. I shouldn't have been. And I'm sick. I can't do that, Lord. I need you to help me. That's a relationship. That's a relationship because he loves me. He's not going to throw me out of the family. He says, listen, your sonship is over. Thou hath done the wrong. No. He wants to help me. He said, well, I'm so embarrassed. I go back time and time again. You think he didn't know? You think he did? He says, you're still doing that? I mean, come on, folks. Let's give God credit for who God is. That he created you and he knows you. What he wants you to do is to love him. He wants you to come into that. You're not going to face the judgment of God that's talked about right there. That's for the people that don't know Jesus. That's for the people that refused, for people that rebelled and said, we don't want you, God, in our lives. And if you think those people don't exist, they do. There's people out there in the world that have a knowledge of God. They know God in the sense, and they say, I don't want him in my life. And I want to tell you something. That's the people that are going to be crying out when daddy shows up. And I'm kind of glad. I want to be standing on the sidelines and saying, yeah, that's my dad. I don't want some guy stroking a lamb to come up. I say, that's my dad. I want somebody that rolls the sky back and says, boo. Well, we don't believe in a creator. Mathematically, it couldn't have happened. It just happened. And I saw roll the sky back and say, boo. Right? Do y'all want a heavenly father like that? I want a God that's going to get me out of trouble when I'm in trouble. I want a God that Jeremiah 32:27 says he's a God of all flesh and nothing's too hard for him. Now, let me show you something. Go to John, Gospel of John 1 now. Whoo, this is good. I'm having fun. Can't see, but I'm having fun. Gospel of John chapter 1. Look at verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Listen to me. It's not by works. You cannot get saved. You cannot get know Jesus. You cannot be right with God. You cannot do it because you got yourself all cleaned up and now you're worthy to be accepted. And you can't. There's not enough. You don't have enough good works to make up for being lost. Hello? It's through faith and belief in him is what the Bible says. Abraham believed God and God accounted it to righteousness unto him. It's the faith that's on the inside of you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for you. Y'all with me? Okay. He goes on and says, verse 14, and the word became flesh and he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now skip over to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he was the Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us. And when Jesus walked on this face of this earth, he did it to show us what God was like. Y'all with me? He did it to show us what our Heavenly Father was like. He said, I'm going to completely be manifest and, you know, be in a human form, because the Bible says Jesus was God in man, right? And I'm going to come down there and I'm going to be right there and I'm going to manifest myself and you're going to be able to look at my actions, the way I am, the way I work, and everything, and you're going to be able to see your Heavenly Father. I'm going to show forth the glory of God. Y'all with me? And he says, if you believe in me, that power on the inside of you called faith. Did you hear what I said? That power on the inside of you called faith. It's power, folks. God made you and gave you the ability to believe, to have faith, to produce faith, to believe in Him. And when your faith connects with the power of God or the presence of God, boom, miracles take place. You say, well, I don't believe in miracles. Oh, you don't? What about you getting saved? That's not some church doctrine. You don't come up here and then I give you a letter and you got an A, B, C, or D. And it's not a club. You can't join. Some people go to church like this. They join a church and then they pay tithes like they pay dues. Like you join, you know, the Lions Club or whatever. And they say, well, that's church. And it's going to, folks, this doesn't have anything to do with joining church. It has to do with what's on the inside of your heart. And did you use that faith that you were born with as a eternal spirit? Did you use that faith and put it in Jesus and He's come into your life and changed your life? And you know it. See, and you know it. He said here, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not worried about the skies rolling back and finding the face of God and He being mad at us because we have peace with Him. We don't have peace with Him because we've done everything right. We have peace with Him because we have believed right. Do you hear me? You have faith in Him, that you took Him at His word, that what He said was right. Now, let me ask you something. I use Chad. Chad, you be my example, okay? What would be something that I could give you, me, human nature, Robert Richards, that I could give you that would just be, I mean, you would just be blown away if I gave it to you? That's all? From me? That would just impress you, okay? All right, well, we'll use it as an example, okay? He wants a Kimber pistol from me, okay? And so I give him a Kimber pistol. I give it to him. I go to him and I say, Chad, I just love you. It's not your birthday. It's not anything else. Doesn't mean anything. I just love you. You're just a great kid. I've always loved you. I love you like my son. I just want to give you this pistol. Here, I just give you this pistol. It's all nice and shiny. It's exactly the same one. It's just what you wanted. And there it is. I take it. And so then I go. And he says, oh, really, I can't take it, Robert. This is too much. The gift is too great. I can't hardly. I said, no, I want you to have it here. Take it. And so finally he takes it. And then I see Chad a couple months later. And I said, hey, Chad, I need to borrow a hammer back in your toolbox. And I said, can I get one? Yeah. And I open up the toolbox and there's my pistol I gave him laying in the toolbox with the hammers. Well, what am I going to think? I'm going to think, well, wow, you didn't appreciate my gift very much that I gave you. You didn't really believe it. And so I go to him and I say, what are you doing? And he said, you know, I just thought about it later. And, you know, if you were going to give me this, I just didn't think it could be real. I mean, how could you? You wouldn't really have given me something like that was real. So I didn't really have any value in it. So I just threw it in the back of my toolbox. So if I'm Papa God and I've given my son Jesus and all I want you to do is believe in Him, and when you accept Him and believe in Jesus and the sacrifice that He's made, and I'm asking you to just put your faith in Him and believe in Him and then take and cherish the gift and hold the gift and pet the gift and stroke the gift and say, oh, you're awesome, God. I can't believe you gave me this. I don't deserve this. That's what he's looking for. Now let's read on. Verse 2, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also in glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Verse 6, And when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But scarcely for an unrighteous man will yet one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When did Christ die for us? When we were sinners, huh? Oh, let me read on. Much more then, everybody say much more then. Having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Huh. Everybody say much more. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, everybody say enemies. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more. Everybody say much more. Having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? Let me ask you something. If God gave you the greatest gift that he could give you in life, his son, to redeem you of your sins, our sins, all of us, the world's sins, okay? If he could give that to you when you were at your worst, not just a sinner, but an enemy. An enemy? An enemy? Not just a sinner, but I'm talking about a dirty, rotten one. When you were at your worst, he gave you his best. Are you hearing me? When you were at your worst, he gave you his best. So then, if verse 10 is true, and now much more you've been reconciled, so you'll be saved by his life. Well, then if he's going to give you when you're your worst, his best, and what's he going to give you when you're your best? Listen to me. Once you ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life and your sins are washed away, you don't get any better than that. Reconcile means reconcile. Reconcile means made right. The Bible says that by the blood of Jesus, according to Colossians 1:13, over your life, the blood of Jesus has made you holy and righteous and unblameable in his sight. How can you get any better than that? Do you hear what I'm saying here, church? If he's going to give you his best when you're your worst, then what's he going to do for you when you're your best? Do you see the lie of the devil? To say, oh, don't go to your heavenly father. He's going to be mad at you. You're going to get in judgment over that. Don't go talk to God now. He's going to get you. I mean, you're in trouble. You're done wrong. What? I remember another time, as an example, I can use my own life. It had rained. We were kids. I don't know how old we were. Probably 8, and my sister was 11, and we came home from school, and you know, of course, living on the farm and ranch, and you know, we didn't have all the money in the world, and so it was just kind of rules. You had to go home, change your clothes, and then put on your work clothes, and you went out and worked, and so, but it had rained, and it had rained a whole bunch, and it rained and it came all down through the fields, and all that old muddy silt had kind of got out in the field, where just looked like chocolate cake out there. So my sister and I, we just deviated from going to the house, and we went out and got in that mud. And then we thought it would be funny, and we put that mud all over us from head to toe. We smeared it on each other, all over our face, all over our hole, all over everything. And then we went up to the house and knocked on the door and waited for my mother to answer. The point is, you see, as children, we thought it was funny. And we just went back up to the place of love, to our house. We found out later that wasn't the best thing to do. But my mother still loved us. You see, we don't want to go to the throne because we're scared of the mud that's on our boots. When God wants us to come to the throne, and yeah, you may get a little chastised. He may say, you need to quit doing this. This is not going to be be profitable for you. You need to look, it's not good, but he's going to love you and help you get cleaned up. My mother loved us and helped us get cleaned up. Matter of fact, I think she squirted us off with a water hose. You with me? Maybe God will just step out there with a water hose and squirt you off. We've got to get out of our mind this judgment of God that he's after us. Listen to me. If you don't know Jesus, he is after you. But we got to get out of this relationship that we don't want to go around our Heavenly Father because we're scared of him. Well, I didn't fulfill the order. I should have done this. Or I didn't do this at this point. I should have done that over here and gone that away. And I didn't do that. Come on. We got to get off of that. We got to be able to go to the throne of God and say, Daddy, here I am, man. Yeah, I know what smells. It's me, but please help me get out of this. Yeah, and you just get the water hose out and squirt you off. Teach you, help you, love you. But you don't have to face the wrath and the judgment of God. No one should live in that fear of having to face the wrath and the judgment of God. He says we've been delivered from it. And when you are at your worst, he gave you his best. How much more is he going to give you now? How much more is he going to give you now? But you're scared to ask? You don't want to, it's going to cost me something. No, you're going to gain everything. Amen? So church, listen to me. You got to find your Father's face. You may have some goofy thinking in your head about your Father, your Heavenly Father I'm talking about. You got to change it. You got to know the truth. You got to know the truth about him. I just heard a true story the other day of a family who all their life had thought that their grandfather had committed suicide. And it wasn't until a month ago, this person that I was visiting was maybe 50, and it wasn't until a month ago they found out that it wasn't, that he was murdered. But when they found it out, it took a kind of like a blight off the family because they'd always looked down on it. And they found out that it wasn't the truth. And they found out about it by the strangest way because two men were praying together. And one told a story to them and said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And they in the story, they found out that they each knew, but they each knew two sides of the story. And they found out the truth. And the truth set him free. And he didn't have to worry about his grandfather and what had happened in life and have all these questions. You see, so folks, the truth will set you free. But you're only going to find the truth at the throne. You're going to find the truth with your Father. And if you're scared of him, you're not going to want to be there. So you got to get that thinking out. Listen to me. I'm preaching good today. I'm telling you what the Word says. I don't say, but I don't know. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Don't be a Yabbit. Yabbits were a tribe in Israel that God tried to exterminate. Didn't do good, and still some of them exist today. That every time they're hit with the face of God, they say, I don't know. They're of the Yabbit tribe. Don't be a Yabbit. Believe the Word of God. Amen? Amen. If you would, just put your Bibles up and stand to your feet. You know what? Yeah, just stand to your feet if you would. Everybody here. Ladies, could y'all bring the communion down? And Laura, could you play? I before we go to this communion and have this time in communion here, I've gotta ask the question. Because I can't preach a message like this and not ask the question. And what I want you to do is just if you would, please, everyone, just look into your hearts right now. And ask yourself the question, do you know you're headed to heaven? Do you know you're right with God? And your answer may be, no, I don't know. Well, then I want to pray with you. I want to give you an opportunity before we take communion to meet your Heavenly Father, to meet Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That's the end of the story. You'll be saved. So if you're in here today and you're not sure, if you died, you'd go to heaven. But then I want to ask you to be bold enough right there just to lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I want to be. And I want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Today's your day. You want to be sure. Amen. Those of you that lifted your hand, now listen to me. I want to ask everyone here to pray, but especially those of you that lifted your hands and just pray this prayer. Because today you're showing Jesus that you believe in Him. It's the greatest day of your life. You're showing Jesus that you believe in Him. And that power of faith on the inside of you is what makes it all happen. So everyone in here, let's bow our heads and let's pray. And let's all say this together. Jesus, today I make you Lord of my life. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that your death, I believe that your death on the cross saved my soul. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood was shed for me. Today, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I'm yours. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Everyone, look at me. Those of you that lifted your hands, you got to understand something. The Bible says that now there was a book opened in heaven. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And your name was written in it. Signed and sealed by Jesus' own hand and by His blood. Took place right now, instantly. Right when you prayed that out of your mouth, instantly it was being written in heaven. And there's going to come a day that you enter into the courts of heaven. And the Bible says books are open and names are read. And yours is one of them. Because of the faith you just expressed in Jesus. Now, for the rest of us, if you've believed a lie about your Heavenly Father, I want to pray with you. If you've been saved for years, you know that you're headed to heaven, but you just hadn't felt like you could have a relationship with Him because that thing that happened in the past that's been plaguing you. Well, I want to pray for you. I don't need a show of hands. I just need you to submit it to the Lord right there in your heart. But I'm going to pray a prayer for you, and I'm going to believe that when you come down here in just a moment and you take communion, that it's going to be a fresh new day for you. Because the Bible says that we break this bread and we drink this cup because of what Jesus did for us, and that your sins are washed away and they are no more. And the only person remembering them is you. And the only person bringing them up is the devil in your life, bringing them up before you. In heaven, the Bible says they're gone. They're removed. They are as if never done. They've been not. Y'all know what? You know what white out is, you know? You know how when you mess up and then you white it out? It's still under there. Y'all with me? If you scratched off the white out, it would still be under there, the mistake you made. But not so in the kingdom of heaven. It's not washed. It's not whited over. Your sin, it's removed as if never was. Oh, can't scratch it off. Can't scratch the white off. Off. That's a great feeling. So I want to pray a prayer over you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare in this room that no more, Lord, can people be tormented by the things of their past. No longer can the devil come into their lives and in their minds and in their thoughts and to steal from them the peace that they should have with you, Heavenly Father. No more ever is that going to take place. But I declare right now in the name of Jesus that by the blood of Jesus, by the confession and faith within their own hearts, that, Lord, their sins are forgiven. And as we approach this communion table today, Lord, we do it with a heart of faith. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.